Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
As important as what I teach them for day one. And what I teach them on day one is the rules for speaking. The rules for speaking in Ms. Cleaver's classroom are, is it kind, is it necessary, is it true? If it is not all three, you may not say it.
Carol Cleaver, who is a middle school science teacher, speaking last night at the Escambia County School, yesterday afternoon, I guess, at the Escambia County School Board meeting.
As a grown-up, I'm so disappointed to hear the lies and misinformation and downright unkindness that have marked almost every single school board meeting this year. I appreciate that our board must respect the rights of citizens to speak at public forum, but I'm disappointed that so many members of the public are so quick to attack any opinion that is not in lockstep with their own.
God, such a great message, such a good reminder that if we are going to expect and teach kids how to behave in the classroom and in the school, that maybe that's also how the school board meetings ought to be conducted. That maybe, you know, we need an example from the adults so that the kids can behave properly. So the hour and a half-ish of public comment was, I mean, it could have been even worse, you know, but it wasn't. It was mostly people who were passionate, okay, and people who were concerned about what was going on. And, you know, I thought that a fair number of the comments were certainly well worth making, okay? Like, for example, Washington Thomas was one of the teachers who showed up there and talking about, talking about Tim Smith, who gets fired or not renewed or however you want to describe it, okay? But then, you know, still has to go through with handling the graduations. Well, it doesn't have to, but he did.
I do applaud Dr. Smith because I don't think if I had been in his seat that I could have saved face enough to show up at graduation and shake the hands of those students, graduation after graduation in front of thousands of people, because I think my pride would have been too damaged. But I applaud him. Because he took the high road and he showed up.
Yeah, and that was definitely, I mean, good for him. And certainly it's not surprising to anybody who knows Tim Smith that he would sort of do the right thing, you know, and follow through and be helpful even, you know, like today is his last day, I guess. So, you know, technically speaking. But the other issue that had come up a lot, and this was really the focus of the meeting, was you had Keith Leonard, who was the person who had applied for the job way back when, did not get hired. Tim Smith got hired instead. And, you know, now Kevin Adams and Paul Fetzko want to make him the interim superintendent while they go search for another one. Meanwhile, Sheena Payne, who is the deputy superintendent, gets bypassed, right? A lot of people viewing it as, why would you pass over her and give this job to him when she would be the natural next one to step in? That doesn't make any sense. That's not, and especially as many people have pointed out, either directly or obliquely, you know, it's a woman, she's black, and she gets passed over for a white guy. Something about that doesn't smell quite right. Well, you know, that was part of the conversation. And has anybody even asked her? Have they given her the choice, right?
My question to you is, do you think the deputy superintendent is qualified to do the interim? Because if so, give her the opportunity to decline. Don't you decline for her.
Yeah, let her make the decision, right? Let's see. So one of the theories here, there's a lot of theories about all this. One of the theories is that Kevin Adams and Paul Fetzko want Keith Leonard to be the superintendent. And their hope is, well, if we can just get him in there, then people can see how great he's going to be, and they won't want to make a change. And when time comes to actually hire a permanent, they're going to be like, why are we bothering? We got the guy we need, right? That, you know, I think that's probably their view. Whether you view that as like a subterfuge or whether you view that as, well, that's the reasonable thing to do when you think you've got the guy already. I think that's probably what they're hoping for. And so having, you know, Sheena Payne be in the job? And then is she going to apply to hold the job? Is he going to apply against her? Then you have in-house competing against each other plus outside people. Well, that's messier. Plus, then you'd have to bypass her at that point if she's been doing the job, because you'd basically have to say, yeah, I think we can do better. You know, like there's all kinds of wrinkles about how this would happen going forward. So in the middle of the meeting, basically, they took a break, and David Williams, the District 3 representative, had asked the attorney to speak with her, Ellen Odom, about something or other. And when they came back, we heard for the first time from Sheena Payne. And I'll share some of that with you in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays right now. It looks like everything's running smoothly. No problems on I-10, I-110, Pine Forest, which was a huge mess, of course, yesterday. That's all clear, of course, this morning. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text them in 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So Sheena Payne, and it was the first time I had seen her speak, and she starts talking, and I instantly knew I liked this woman. I mean, she's just, you know, her very first comment was, man, it's good to see all of these people here for this meeting. Now, what I need is I need for all of you to show up at the next meeting and the next meeting and the next meeting and not just for this here drama. You know, and she's right. Like, that's just a great comment. And she talks about how she appreciated Timothy Smith and that, you know, he was not treated right by this board, and that education is a ministry that she was, you know, kind of pulled into, and here she is, and, you know, she loves her job and clearly loves the students and clearly loves the Lord. All three are true.
This was not designed, I don't believe. I think Mr. Leonard got pulled in. I got pulled in. And now we got to find a way to pull together. We don't have to be ugly. We can disagree without being disagreeable. Children can't be what they can't see. And if they don't see us, then there is no way we can come to this table and talk about discipline. We can't talk about anything when they can't see us do the same things.
In other words, be an example like that earlier teacher speaking had said, right? We got to show them civility and cooperation and self-sacrifice and unity and being willing to do the right thing. And so she says, okay, that can start with me. You know, that can start with me. I will show these things. And I will step aside and I'll just say, hey, it's okay. I can serve Keith Leonard. He's a good man. We'll work together. No problem. Okay, no big deal. We can do this. This is good.
Mr. Williams, Mr. Adams, Ms. Hightower, Mr. Slayton, let's do this together. Enough is enough. Stop. Let's reevaluate so we can walk away when it's all said and done. And answer the question, and how are the children? And our response will be, all of the children are well.
Oh, man. she's just great. And then Keith Leonard gave up and gave a speech because he got picked. Okay, they picked him 5-0 when she stepped out of the way. That was an easy decision. He's going to be superintendent for about 13 months, and we're going to start a hiring process in, you know, February, January timeframe. Which will take about 6 months to fulfill, so you probably get somebody next summer. And it might well be him. Okay, it might well. It might not be. Who knows? We got to go through that process. But I almost thought this was going to be, he could have had the best speech ever. He did start a fairly good speech with what would have been the best speech ever, all 6 seconds of it, if he'd have stopped.
My good friend Sheena Payne said it also. Said it much better than I could ever say it.
And at that point you say, and thank you. And I'm done here. No, but he went on, and you know what he said was very good about, you know, looking out for all of the people.
This is about the number 45,000, 38,000 students, 7,000 employees, and you can rest assured that every day when we come to work, that's what we're going to be committed to. We're going to give our students the best opportunity we can, and we're going to treat and support our employees every day like they are doing God's work. You can rest assured of that.
So you have a very devoted Christian in Sheena Payne. You have, from all I can tell from last night, a devoted religious, probably Christian, in Keith Leonard. By the way, you know, you hear a lot about the godless public schools and the horrible things that go on there. My guess would be that the teachers in this area are largely a reflection of the people in this area, and we are one of the most religious areas in the entire country, if you go by like churches per capita kind of thing. So it should not come as any big surprise that the leadership in the school district is very religious. And they clearly are. And I mention that because I don't want it to go unnoticed. You know, for all of the hand-wringing and concerns that people have about, you know, these schools these days, I would be willing to bet that the vast majority, and by vast, I mean probably pushing 90%. It'd be my guess, okay? I don't have any data. I'm just going on intuition here. My guess is that 80 at least percent, and probably around 90% of your teachers and your administrators and, you know, your people who work in the school district in both counties are probably devoted Christians. That'd be my guess. And don't forget that. You know, sometimes in the news and the drama and all of that, we tend to, you know, take certain things that we don't really think about very much. I would be willing to bet that that is the case. And it was on show yesterday in a good way. It was on display in a good way. 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The cost of health care is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, as ProHealth will be the guest and will be discussing how the ProHealth Medical Membership Program can help you take out the stress and cost of health care. That's this morning at 9, as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Experience the freedom of PGT Custom windows and doors with one of our best deals ever. With over 7 million units installed and zero reported impact failures, PGT impact-resistant windows and doors give you confidence in your investment. Now, through July 31st, you can earn $35 off every window and $110 off every door from PGT's WindGuard line of products. Reimagine your lifestyle. Go to pgtwindows.com to learn more. That's the freedom of PGT.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
Good morning, 624 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom eagerly awaiting with our headlines. David?
The House Rules Committee advancing a bill to raise the federal debt ceiling. The House expected to vote on that today. There's also going to be a debate on the House floor as legislation continues to face opposition from both Republicans and Democrats. The Sackler family will be protected from lawsuits over their role in the opioid business. A New York appeals court granted immunity yesterday to the family as part of a bankruptcy deal with their company, Purdue Pharma. And Al Pacino becoming a father again at 82 years old. TMZ says his 29-year-old girlfriend is now 8 months pregnant. She's been with Pacino for just over a year now.
So somebody that could be his great-great-great-granddaughter.
No, great-great, not great-great-great. I think, don't exaggerate, Candy.
One too many greats, yeah. Maybe.
So that's a, let me do the math there. That's 53 years, right? 29 and 82.
Well, that's a spread.
It's 53. Well, maybe that's not the word we want.
At 2, David.
Traffic on the fives with Candy.
Roads are fine. Not showing any slowdowns right now. Where are you guys with me? 29, not showing any slowdowns. It looks like everything is clear all the way down to the split at Pace Palafox, up to the Atmore cutoff. No problems on 10, 110, or 98. If you see an accident or a slowdown or want to make a pithy comment, you can text it in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are there ones? Are there ones? That gentle noise that you heard last night around 10 o'clock, you know, like sounded like somebody shooting off a firework, you know, 1,000 miles away. No, that giant rumble of your house boom was the SpaceX capsule coming back in. And I saw some, you know, it's annoying once you don't have a thing that you ought to be able to find. It just grinds on me that I can't find it. I've not been able to find anybody who has video that includes the boom because they all have video of the streaking across the sky, which I'm angry I didn't think about happening. I would have gone out and seen that. But the problem is that's before the boom. And it was like 2 or 3 minutes later that the boom hit. And no, nobody that I've been able to find yet has a video of that. So I can't share it with you and be like, did you hear this last night? Everybody. Oh, my God. I went on Facebook when it happened. I'm just like, anybody hear that? 50 comments later. Yeah, heard it in Beulah. Heard it in Cantonment. Heard it in Navarre. My favorite comment, though, this is my favorite comment. Out of 100 comments on the page that I posted yesterday, one person said, I didn't hear anything here in Norman, Oklahoma. Nicely done. Nicely done. I appreciate that. 627 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Have you seen the video of the incident out at the Circle K on Pensacola Beach? This was all over social media yesterday. The background here is you've got a fairly crowded, you know, that's a very popular business, right? Okay, so people are in there, and it's daytime, and there's a clerk behind the counter. Okay, black clerk behind the counter, and you have a bunch of people, like maybe 10 or 15 people, it's hard to tell, milling around, and you've got these two black teenagers, 20-something, maybe young, I don't know, at least one of them, maybe both of them, I forget, now one doesn't have a shirt on, okay, and in the video, they're yelling at him, they're chirping at him, they're taunting him, it's hard to hear and understand exactly what they're saying, but they're yelling back and forth, and basically, I think, inviting him outside to fight. Okay, or threatening him, or both, the clerk. And I'm going to play some of it for you, and then I'll tell you what happens after.
That's why I said, be a man, take it out of the bed, come on. Stop talking.
Stop talking, break the
f***ing pop your dumb ass. You said pop my dumb ass. Come on, we can get this whole stuff from anger right now, on God. On God. To be your last day working, living in this bitch, on God. Hey, love. Said, come on.
This is what I mean. They're yelling at each other and... aside from the occasional profanity, it's kind of hard to figure out what they're saying.
First of all,
Mom, he
won't step outside and go on.
So, they're yelling, and they basically leave and go out the front door. And then you see the clerk come around from behind, grab a gun, and shoot. And the woman who's shooting the video, she's like hiding for her life, and people are hiding in the aisles, and they don't know what's going on. And so after the threat was over inside, he went out with the gun and shot at them as they were leaving, apparently. Okay. And the sheriff's department says, the sheriff says, we're not prosecuting. Now, I've talked with the sheriff so many times about the gun rules, I know these things cold. If you're not in imminent danger, you can't shoot somebody, you can't brandish, that's the whole point. But he's saying that, I think, the way I interpret his answer is that in this moment, with whatever had happened inside and with whatever was happening outside and whatever account this person gave them of what he saw them doing outside, what level of ongoing threat there might have been to him or other people, even though it's not on the video, that this was not a case they wanted to prosecute. He's not going as far, I don't think, as to say that it was a good choice to shoot at them, but he's not saying that there was a crime committed either. Which, again, it seems to not be a fit with all the things that we've talked about many times. You know, there's no longer the imminent threat. He's going after them when they're running away or retreating from the situation. And so that, to me, looks like an attempted murder. That's what it looks like to me, okay, watching it. But until I have a chance to talk to the sheriff, probably next Tuesday about this, I'm going to defer to their judgment of the totality of circumstances and the witnesses that they've interviewed that they're not going to prosecute because they didn't want to catch him a felony charge on this particular incident. So it might be one of those, you know, discretion is the better part of justice in this case. But that's what happened. 6:30, David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
More on last night's Escambia School Board meeting right after Fox.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. The bipartisan debt bill heads to the House floor with a vote expected after the review period ends at 7:13 p.m. Eastern time tonight. One Democrat, 30 Republicans, mostly coming from the Freedom Caucus, have spoken out against the bill. Congressman Ralph Norman is one of them.
The only people happy with this bill are two factions, China, which is buying up our debt, and then a Biden administration, which is being proven to be corrupt and compromised.
Norman on Fox News at night. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer is set to confront FBI Director Christopher Wray during a phone call later today. After the FBI refused to turn over documents, Republicans claim connects the president to a $5 million bribery scheme. The FBI says it remains committed to cooperating with the committee in good faith. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31, News Radio 92.3, 68 degrees right now. It's partly cloudy here in Pensacola, and Keith Leonard will be the Escambia School District superintendent for at least the next year.
We're going to work on the foundation of the Escambia County School District. You can count on it now, and you can count on it tomorrow. So, Mr. Chairman, other school board members, thank you for the opportunity. And you'll be proud of the work that we do in the Escambia County School District. Thank you.
The Escambia School Board voting 5-0 last night to appoint Leonard as its interim leader. This is after about 2 hours of public comment. Also, a speech from Deputy Superintendent Sheena Payne, who thanked people who came out to support her, but said she was willing to continue serving as Deputy Superintendent and support Keith Leonard as he runs the district. If you heard and felt a big boom last night, it wasn't a branch falling on your roof. No, it was the SpaceX Dragon capsule splashing down in the Gulf near Panama City. That happened about 10 o'clock last night.
AX2 is back on Earth.
Reports of that boom spread quickly on social media. Folks all over the area asking if anybody knew what it was. The historic private space mission took former NASA astronaut Peggy Whitson and three paying customers to the International Space Station. A Milton man now behind bars accused of breaking into a woman's home and sexually assaulting her while she was asleep. 36-year-old Wesley Smith being held on $180,000 bond on several charges, including sexual assault, burglary, and trespassing. The victim telling investigators she woke up with Smith on top of her and touching her inappropriately. Investigators say they found a window in the back of her home, which had been opened. The sheriff's office says a Friday shooting that left a 16-year-old dead with a gunshot wound to the head may be a case of self-defense. Deputies say they found the victim on the roadway with a gunshot wound to the head. They say two armed 16-year-olds had reportedly been robbing people in that area. They believe somebody had called for help. The person that showed up exchanged gunfire with the 16-year-olds. So far, nobody has been charged. Well, if you've been in Florida for very long during hurricane season, you've no doubt heard the phrase, the first 72 is on you. Well, get ready for a new phrase this year. 1 week ready is what you'll be hearing.
We want to make sure that we plan for a catastrophic event here. So if we were to plan for a Category 5 hurricane, we would want to make sure that our citizens had enough food and water per individual for at least a week on hand.
And that is Escambia County Emergency Manager Travis Tompkins. As always, county leaders stressing knowing your evacuation zone, your home insurance coverage, and having a plan and supplies in place before a storm arrives. The official start of Atlantic hurricane season is tomorrow. Governor Ron DeSantis says he wants to turn the country around. He kicked off his presidential campaign yesterday in Iowa, speaking to supporters in Des Moines. The governor said that the U.S. is headed in the wrong direction. He also ripped the Biden administration on issues like immigration and the economy. The visit kicked off a four-day swing through early voting states, which also will include a trip to New Hampshire and South Carolina this week. His campaign calling it the Our Great American Comeback Tour. Governor DeSantis formally entered that 2024 race for the White House last week. 6:35, it's News Radio 92.3. Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That freaks me out about the hurricane in the week part.
Doesn't it?
7 days, yeah, but that's right. It starts soon, so we'll talk to somebody about that. As we take a look at our roads, good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. 98 looking just fine, not showing any problems there. Again, I-10, I-110 reported clear. 90 not showing any problems either. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you so much, Candy. Now a look at our Channel 3 weather.
Beautiful day today, nice and warm and humid. Small chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm. 20% chance of rain overall. High near 88 with lows overnight dropping near 69 degrees. For Thursday, rain chance will be increasing. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High near 85. Thursday night temperatures dropping near 69. Rain chance will drop off a little bit for Friday with a 30% chance of rain with a high near 89. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather App. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 68 degrees. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 65 right now in Milton. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Amtrak's $2 billion effort to replace its fleet of Acela Express trains on the Washington to Boston corridor has hit a foreseeable snag. The new trains have to run on an old railroad. The trains from France-based Alstom were originally set to begin service in 2021, but Amtrak and Alstom officials now say they'll remain sidetracked at least until next year, as the manufacturer struggles with mandatory testing intended to show how the units will perform in real-world conditions. The core problem is the Acela runs on tracks shared with commuter and freight trains, not the purpose-built high-speed tracks found in Europe and Asia. Lots of big problems at Big Lots. The Columbus, Ohio-based furniture and home decor chain has suspended its quarterly dividend amid declining sales and widening losses. Revenue fell 18% in the most recently completed quarter, and Big Lots says it will close 4 distribution centers opened during the pandemic. On Wall Street, futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast. Or your money back.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice, now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned athlete, Anytime Fitness on North 9th Avenue in Pensacola is your ultimate fitness destination. Are you ready to unlock your full potential and achieve your fitness goals? Anytime Fitness has the key to a healthier, happier you. With 24/7 access to state-of-the-art facilities, you can work out on your schedule. You will be guided by their certified personal trainers who will tailor a program just for you. So join now and take advantage of their special membership offers.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage.
If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety.
No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
We can dance if we want to, we can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find.
On June 7th, we're actually calling all churches in Escambia County. We're gonna extend it to Baldwin and to Santa Rosa County as well, but we're gonna have a Places of Worship Preparedness Seminar. And so basically, what we're trying to do is to get the church to take care of their folks, the folks that are in their congregations.
This is a very good common sense step. That's Travis Tompkins. He's the EMS manager, the emergency manager. Not EMS, excuse me. He's the emergency manager. Emergency manager is the person who handles all of the emergency response for, like, disasters and events. EMS is Emergency Medical Service. DPS, Director of Public Safety, that's the guy who's the boss over all of them, including the other one, ECFR, the Escambia County Fire Rescue. There, did I prove my acronym awareness? Anyway, Travis... I get my merit badge. Travis Tompkins, Davis would be so proud of me. Travis Tompkins, they're talking about an upcoming meeting where they're going to brief all of the church people about, hey, in emergency, here's how you can be helpful, which is a great plan. It's the kind of thing you're like, it's so good, why didn't anybody do it before? Well, we're doing it now, okay? Including, you know, churches from outside the particular area here, because they may well be involved in disaster response as well. Joining us now, we have one of the other acronym owners, the Director of Public Safety, DPS, Eric Gilmore, who used to be Travis Tompkins back in the day, and he is no longer there. He's his boss now. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, Andrew, thank you very much. Good job on getting your acronyms right.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I knew as soon as I said the wrong one, I'm like, oh, I got to correct this. All my guys are going to be like, Andrew. So, this is not the main reason I wanted to have you on, but because, of course, we were hanging out yesterday for the pre-hurricane season briefing, the media get-together yesterday. I wanted to give you a chance to tell people just the basic, in case they hadn't been thinking about it, we are a day away from hurricane season. And particularly for a couple of years now, you and I have been telling people that the new standard is not 72 hours. The new standard is 7 days, right?
That is absolutely correct. Hurricane season is one day away, and it is 6 long months. So it'll end November 3rd. So I want everybody to remember that, because everybody seems to think I get through September or October, we're done. That's not the case. And we are asking everybody not to be 70. This, you know, first 72 is on you. That's no longer the slogan. It's 1 week ready. We're asking everybody to be 1 week ready. Have all your supplies, non-perishables, medications, things you need to be successful, to make it through and recover from a disaster. So 1 week ready is what we're asking.
You know, I hate to tell you this, but I know you already know it's true. The first 72 is on you is catchy. 1 week ready is not catchy.
It is. Yeah, I get you. I get you. You're right. It's pretty catchy. But 72 hours is kind of it could be, just depending on the size of the storm or how bad we're impacted, it could put it on a resource coming in. And we might make that 2-hour window. So that's why we ask everybody to be 1 week ready. I mean, even after Sally, and Sally was not a major hurricane, we still had issues with flooding to the east, not only the barges and the bridges, but the flooding of the interstate. The resources are coming from the east to the west. They were, you know, 48 hours delayed because they had to trek up through Alabama and Georgia and come back down. So, you know, it could impact our delivery system for our resources coming in for recovery.
Nothing will remind us, or people in general, how vulnerable our area is to weather. And a reminder that we live on a peninsula, you know, you don't think about it that way, but we do. And it can feel a little bit like an island sometimes, even though it might not exactly be that, you know, the wrong road becomes impassable and disaster response can be dramatically affected. As everybody who lived through Ivan, I did not, but everybody who did certainly knows with I-10. The main reason I wanted to have you on today, actually it's kind of ironic, the scheduling, but I had wanted to ask you about Pulse Point, which, if people are not familiar, Pulse Point was an app on your phone where you could watch in real time all of the local emergency response from cardiac calls, EMS, fire. It would even tell you the number of trucks involved and who was on the scene and all of this stuff. It was a really great resource for those of us who were concerned about such things. And then one day it wasn't there anymore. It just kind of stopped working. And you're like, what's going on? And it said, well, temporarily unavailable. Well, how temporarily? Okay, so I wanted to ask you about that. What happened to Pulse Point, Eric?
Okay, so we were spending around 14.
You know what, 14, Eric, hang on. I'm going to get a traffic break, and then you can okay me all you like, because I know this is a long explanation.
Okay.
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Fair enough.
Roads are fine. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, let us know. Text them in.
There we go. There, okay, I know. So one more time.
I want to know about
what
Pulse
happened
Point.
At Pulse Point. Eric's first answer. Okay, listen to the saga. Okay. Go on.
All right. So while we were running Pulse Point for about 4 years, we were spending around $14,000 a year on Pulse Point. Now, the intent of Pulse Point was to have community involvement, and anybody who was CPR trained or could render aid, the intent was if you were in the area, you would get the notification that there was a cardiac arrest or some kind of emergency in your area that maybe you could stop and assist and render aid. In four years of running that app,
okay, so the purpose was not just to give Andrew McKay awareness of what ECFR was doing. The purpose was that all the people who have citizen skills and could respond to an emergency that was close to them could set it up to be notified that, hey, we got this incident coming. Come help if you can. And you're saying in 4 years that never happened.
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. All right.
That's right. So the major use of the app was the public. Which is, like I said, putting our information out, it's always good information. Watch what we're doing. So everybody liked it. If there was a backup on the interstate or on one of our roads or something, they would pull up Pulse Point to see if anything went on in that general direction. And that's great. But for $14,000 a year, that's not something that I'm getting return on investment. The other major use of it was our fire system. Our guys were getting pre-alerts with Pulse Point, which means on the call taker side, when you call 911, you first talk to a call taker. While that call taker is building that call out, Pulse Point would take that early notification and push it out to the masses that there's this situation going on. So our fire units would get, say, 3 to 4 minute earlier response than dispatch, actually dispatching them. So that you use it for early response.
Because of the way the calls are processed, firemen were getting a 2 to 3 to 4 minute lead on the actual official dispatch order because of the way Pulse Point was operating within the system. Is that right?
That is absolutely
correct.
Because
that's a huge advantage fighting fires. Okay, all right, cool. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Nope, it is. You're absolutely right. So they've taken that information and going, okay, so the public is not using it to respond or render aid if they're in the area. The fire guys and our emergency system, they like it for the pre-alert, early notification. What can we do? What's out there? So we looked around and we found I am responding. So I am responding. And anybody who played with Pulse Point knows that it's not interactive. It is just information only. So you just get a flash of where the incident is, what the major category of the incident is, and who's on scene. So we looked around and found I am responding. I am responding does that pre-alert just like Pulse Point. So our fire guys don't miss the pre-alert.
Okay.
They'll get the early notification.
Got it.
But Pulse Point also has an interactive side to it. So our volunteer firefighters and anybody who's set up in the group, it's a subscriber base, and we're spending around $4,500 a year for this app for us to be interactive and for our units to be able to respond to each other that I want click on, I am responding, and it'll show you the mapping to the incident. It'll show you who's en route to you. You can message inside the group, so it's more interactive. It meets our need to our emergency services, and the public can't see it because it's subscription use only. But like I said, we were not getting a return on investment. So we were trying to find something that was amenable to do what Pulse Point did for our emergency response, to do pre-alerts, but also be interactive and help us out with notifications to the volunteers, and the volunteers can interact with each other and know who's responding to the station to grab a truck or get to a scene.
Okay, so the goal of having the Pulse Point wasn't accomplished, the main goal of getting people to help out. The incidental benefit of Pulse Point was the early response. That's available in the I Am Responding app as well, so that was kept. You're saving $9,500 a year, and you've got an app that is much more interactive for the really for the people who need to know and people who need to be involved in it. And the only real downside of all this is in saving the money and getting a really more useful app, just that we, the public, because we're not subscribers, we don't have a login, and so we don't have access to the public information. But that wasn't the purpose of it in the first place anyway. So, okay, all right, that makes sense to me.
That is the best synopsis you could. Yes, sir. That's okay. Exactly what it is. So okay. It's nothing. Unfortunately, I would like the information to be out there to the public, but until we can, you know, maybe there's an app or to develop it where it'll be more not subscriber based, more user based, mm-hmm. with a better rate. We're still looking. We're always looking to improve, and that's why we come up with this to see how this works with us, interacts with us, and how we can improve our system and keep our pre alerts, because that was important. That was definitely important to Fire Guys. So. That way we can get that early notification.
Yeah, in all the times we've talked about fire response, getting 3 extra minutes ahead of schedule is an enormous advantage in fighting fires. Because what is the rule? It's a doubling in a minute, right, once a fire is underway?
That is absolutely correct, Andrew. Okay. You listen.
So yes, that's a big deal. All right. Well, I appreciate it. And I appreciate you explaining that, because I know a lot of people have been asking me, Andrew, you know what happened to, you know, Pulse One? I'm like, it's still there. I just don't think we're participating in it anymore. But now that we understand that as well. Hey, I always like to give you a chance to brag on the department. I know we just got the Lucas devices. Those automatic compression devices are on our EMS trucks now. We're working on the Paradise Beach location for the new firehouse. We're working on still number 2 over there on 9 Mile Road. Anything else you just want to let people know about that's going on, Eric?
No, I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal what we've got going on right now with the new Station 2, Beulah being built over there. I do want to brag about the Lucas devices, because that was a package with the ALS 360. When we did the ALS 360, the 10-year lock-in pricing, and we get new equipment in 5 years, and then we own it at the end of it. So all our ambulances now have Lucas devices. On the last board meeting, we had to go back to the board and ask for an amendment to the contract, because we are ordering 8 new ambulances that should be in, we're hoping, August of this year. So I had to get more equipment to go on the 8 new ambulances that we're bringing in. And then we got 6 more coming on the backside of it, but we don't know what the build time is on those. So we do have our first three fire trucks that we ordered back in when? Gosh, 2021?
Yeah.
They'll be in town. They'll be in town next month. And have those things put to service and put the hoses on and get those trucks to service. So we got a ladder, an engine, and a squad. So we're excited to have those 3 additional pieces of equipment coming in town next month and getting those things in service. And then we'll have that ladder truck that we was fortunate to get sometime in October, November time frame that we were looking forward to get that and putting into service as well. So we got a lot of equipment coming in. We got a lot of good things going on. We're pretty excited,
we'll see
what the budget holds for us.
Where's the squad going to be deployed? That's the one that has all of the different equipment to be able to rescue people and get people out of trenches and entrapments and all that kind of stuff. There's one over at Marcus Point right now. Where's that squad going to be? Do you know?
So, yes, I do. So we've got 3, it'll be the 3rd squad in the county. So we've got a north, central, south squad. So it'll be going to McDavid, Station 9, in the north end of the county. So it'll run, Cantonment, Molina, Walnut Hill, Century, McDavid area. Those guys will have the specialty equipment. They'll be trained on the specialty equipment. Then we got squad 3 that's at Marcus Point on W Street.
Yeah.
And then we got squad 14, which is down at Pleasant Grove. So
okay.
We'll have a north, central, south squad. That way those trucks can carry more of the heavy rescue equipment and not have to burden all the other engines in the area with the duplicate equipment. So that was the intent and purpose of the squad system.
Perfect. Well, Eric, I know it's always good information. I could talk to you for an hour because it's just important stuff and there's always news going on. But Eric Gilmore, he is the Escambia County Director of Public Safety. Eric, as always, man, thanks for what you do, keeping us safe. Thanks for helping out yesterday. And please pass along, as always, my thanks to everybody who works for you for what they do for this county, sir. I appreciate it.
I want to do that. Thank you very much for what you do for informing the citizens and getting information. I do appreciate it very much, sir. Thank you.
You bet. 6:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that is Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry. Gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. They're on Creighton Road, right across from Tom Thumb. Emerald Coast coins.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes. But they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else could pay our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
National average for gallon of gas, 357, 340 in Florida, Mississippi at 298, really not moving. California, 487, Navarre east and west of the Walmarts, 316, and Tiger Point at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, 314, 339 in Gulf Breeze proper. If you're in Milton, 319 at the CEFCO, same at the Pea Ridge Murphy, 329 a dime more at the stations in Pace. If you're over into Pensacola on 9 Mile at the Walmart, 316, same at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29 and coming in from the southwest side, 319 if you can wait until the Shell at Cervantes and Pace. 656 News Radio 92.3. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
Good news is, again, we're not showing many slowdowns or delays. Jernigan and 9 Mile now showing an accident, but not a roadblock or anything. Certainly be careful. And if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, one quick thing before we get to David Wayne in the newsroom. Somebody had texted in and said, talking about that shooting at the Circle K out on the beach where the clerk rushed out after the other people were antagonizing him inside, said, Andrew, I'm kind of disappointed in you because you sound like this street lawyer, cry bully move based on a partial video. Usually you do really good work, but maybe you want to talk about with the sheriff first before opining about this. Shots could have been fired into the ground. Where's the intent to murder? Otherwise, we enjoy the show. No, I appreciate that. I thought I had said that, and I do want to be clear, only based on what I saw in the video, and I do want to wait till Tuesday when I can talk with the sheriff about it, and always be cautious about judging any incident based on one video rather than the totality of the facts, which the investigators would have gotten. But I appreciate the reminder and the correction. Always will take that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
More than 1,700 Amazon employees plan to walk off the job today. They're calling for more flexibility with remote work, and they want the company to pay more attention, apparently, to climate impact. A New York attorney could be facing legal sanctions after his firm used artificial intelligence to craft a legal filing in a lawsuit.
And the problem is when you sign something or file something to the court, you're verifying that everything in there is accurate. And it's not verified if you only ask ChatGPT if it's verified. ChatGPT can't take responsibility. The lawyer has to take responsibility.
Legal analyst Danny Savalos there, and attorney Peter DeLuca apparently represented a client suing an airline. The airline moved to dismiss the case. DeLuca filed a motion opposing that, but the problem was he used ChatGPT to craft the legal document, and it made up legal decisions in the motion.
Oh my God. So that means it's like any student.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay, all right, cool. That's not even plagiarism if you make it up, right?
You know, I guess that would meet the legal definition. What?
I mean, it would be false.
Wow.
But, you know, at least it's not plagiarism.
Yeah, just wrong, not plagiarism.
You know, which is,
it's nice to work with Professor Logic. Yeah,
you're the most. I don't know why you're so angry. I didn't plagiarize. All right, 6:59 here on News Radio 92.3, abbreviated future news. First thing, we've got this. There's a weather system in the Gulf, okay? Is it going to affect us?
Yes.
A little. A little bit of rain. That's what we're going to get, some rain, okay? Keith Leonard, is he going to serve the year? Will he be the superintendent in a year that they hire?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
I think there's a pretty good chance. I mean,
I
if he
so
does
too.
Well,
yeah,
between here and there, that seems like a pretty good chance. And will we have to survive another sonic boom today?
No.
No.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.